Now I'm going to show you a classical engineering application, I mean, engineering problems in which you exploit optimization, okay, constrained optimization. And example follows in the class of traffic over networks problems. Okay, so a situation where you have a network and some kind of traffic which distributes along the network, and you would like to understand how the traffic distributes, or in other context, how you would like the traffic to distribute on the network. Okay, which kind of network and which kind of traffic are not extremely relevant in making the model. In the optimization community, the interest arose at the beginning of the 80s, and traffic was exactly the most common sense, the most common meaning of traffic. Traffic over roads, okay? So cars, buses, and so on. But clearly, those could be also data traffic over networks, okay? So which is the situation? You have a network, for instance, this one, okay? And you have some certain amount of traffic, so certain amount of, let's say, flow, that has to move across the network, okay? And let's say entering the network here and getting out from the network here, okay? A given amount of flow. You could think of cars or you could think of data. Okay, and you would like to understand how the traffic distributes, or how you want the traffic to distribute over the network, which is the trouble. Well, the troubles are the following. As you can imagine, for instance, you have seen it in operation research course during your undergraduate studies. Links have a capacity, so they cannot carry more than a certain amount of flow, a certain amount of traffic. But here you have also another complicating feature, that the time, okay, to go through a link depends on the amount of traffic that the link is carrying, okay? Generally, the more traffic you have on a link, the slower you will be able to run the link, okay? More traffic means more time to run over the, to cross that link, okay? You can also imagine real traffic car, okay? If here you have Via Buonarroti, which is empty, midnight, you can go at a certain speed, okay? Rush hour, you will have lots of car and you will go much slower, okay? So, in this example, I've made green the links which are fast, okay, which you can perform quite fastly, and there is not much relevance of this congestion factor. On blue, standard arcs, with good performance, and in red, clearly, the most trouble-giving arcs. Okay, but so from a mathematical point of view, which problem are we facing? Okay, so I know that, for instance, D is the amount of flow, okay, is the total flow. So, D unit of flow enters the network here, and I have to leave it here. Okay? So, you should know that at each node of the network, you must have the flow conservation. Okay, here the unit of flow come in, so the unit of flow must get out from these three arcs. Okay, in an intermediate node, all the traffic that goes in from the incoming arcs has to leave the node from the outward arcs. Okay, so these are what you've seen. Are called flow conservation constraints. You have seen them multiple times, for instance, during network optimization in operational research. So, just to take here, if we take and we if we call X ij the flow that flows along arc ij, okay, let's for instance take node 10. Well, you have outgoing flow to arc 2, you have outgoing flow to arc 1, and you have outgoing flow to arc 4. Okay. The sum of the flow that leaves the node through this arc must be D. Okay? And similarly for node 11. If you take an intermediate node, let's take one with not many arcs, so let's take two. Okay? So you have flow coming into the node through arc 10i, sorry, 10-2. And also from arc 1-2. Okay? And that's it. So, this is the incoming flow. Okay? The outgoing flow flows through arc 2-6 and 2-1. Okay? This one is a 2-beam flow. X26 plus X21 has to be equal to X102 plus X12. Okay. Okay, these are just to remember you roughly what the flow conservation constraints are. Are linear constraints. Okay. Then clearly on each arc we also may have capacity. So these are generally equality constraints. Some matrix E for the vector X, which is made of all Xij, equal to some vector B, flow conservation. And then you have the capacity constraint, which tell you, okay, on each arc, the flow must be greater or equal than zero. And lesser or equal than some capacity. Okay? So you have this kind of constraint, typical from network optimization. Okay? Now, what's new here is that you don't have a fixed Tij time to travel enough. Okay? But this is a function. Okay, which depends on the quantity of flow that is going to the arc. Okay. This these functions are generally called congestion functions. Okay? And there's still one. Okay, then I will tell you something more about congestion functions, typical congestion functions, okay? But I will first tell you, well, what is missing to do an optimization problem? The matter. Yeah, we have constraints, we need an objective function, okay? Let's think it's me managing the network. Okay. I want the total traveling time to be as low as possible. Okay. So the unitary time to travel across ij is this quantity. The congestion function taking its value as x ij. Okay. And how many units of flow standard time exactly exceeded? Okay. So let's see. It's just me going on that work on that network on that arc. I will spend the time to travel that arc will be one. Okay. If it will be me and you, I will take this quantity of time, and you will take that quantity of time too. Okay? So, you and me together will spend twice the time running through the dark. Okay? So, this is the total travel time on that arc. You sum up all over Earth, and you have with what is called the total traveling time. Okay? So this will be our objective function. These are typical choices for the congestion function of an arc. So the function depends on the, this is the total amount of flow on the arc, okay, on a generic arc. So it's some fixed time, okay, plus this quantity, which I call alpha ijb divided by cij minus b. Okay? What does it mean? If there's no flow on the arc, the time you need to travel it is tij bar. Okay? As the flow increases, the time changes this way. You have the constraint. As b goes to cij, this goes to zero, so this goes to plus infinity. Okay. This is what is called block.
I have the picture.
Time block. Okay. The time you need to travel now explodes as you reach the capacity of the arc. Okay? And the behavior is done this way. So I call them T, alpha, and C on the slide. Okay? You have four different... So all of them start with time one, at least one unit of time to travel across the arc, and then in blue you have the situation in which this coefficient is one, then in black the situation in which this coefficient is two, and Here, the situation in red, you have the situation for which this coefficient is 4, and for C, for the capacity, we always consider unit capacity. Okay? So, as you go closer to one unit of traffic over the network, the time needed to travel there, the time grows. Okay? Exploded, goes to plus infinity. And it starts to grow faster as this coefficient alpha gets bigger. Okay? But sorry, you see, up here it's almost doesn't change much, and at a certain time it starts to grow faster. Okay? There's also another function. Where is it? I'm checking it here because I don't want to make mistakes. Okay. Which is done this way. Upper bounds on the capacity of the link is non-existent. Okay? Plus infinity. But the time to travel changes this way. It's a constant value plus alpha time d divided some other value c, which is no longer the capacity of the arc, all to the fourth power. Okay. What this means? Once again, when you don't have traffic, no traffic on the road, the time would be t. Okay. As v grows, this grows with the fourth power of v. And this coefficient is telling you that if V is equal to C, which in the other case was the capacity, the time you needed to travel, the arc is time plus alpha. Okay? And then it grows fast with the fourth power. Okay? But you don't have limits. You could say here that the upper bounds are plus infinity. Okay? You replace it with this term below. You can go up. You can go beyond this capacity, okay? But as soon as V gets bigger than C, the time starts to blow very fast, okay? It goes up. You could also change it, take another power, let's say 6 or 8 or something like that. This was... given by the United States Bureau of Public Roads in the city. Okay. I had some students asking me, why did they choose this function? I don't know the answer. Okay. But this is they made studies in Chicago on the behavior of traffic, real traffic. Of cars, and they made this sort of, and they tried to model the time this way. Okay, and here we have how this function behaves for values of t and c are taken one, and you just change this coefficient alpha. Clearly, as alpha increases, the function starts to blow, starts to grow earlier for smaller values. The point here is that you don't reach infinite time when you go to traffic being C, being 1. Okay. In the time blow, time went to plus infinity. Okay. Here, you can go beyond this value and it starts to grow, but grows very fast. Okay? Question? Something which is not clear on the model? So we have a network, incoming traffic, the travel time on an arc depends, on a link, depends on the quantity of flow that's going through that link, and then, so the flow distributes over the network and it gets out. I would like to minimize the total travel time. Okay? So, I've run the Frank Wolf and the projected gradient methods for this kind of problem with both these congestion types, with both these kind of congestion functions. Okay. And I can show you the results. Actually, there is not much to look at because here, how many cars do we have? I think there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. So these are 3, 6, 9, 12, 18, 24. Okay? Because the flow here and the flow here is here. Okay? Is this total amount of heat. Everything has to go, comes in the network and all the flow goes out of the network at the end. Okay? This is a simplified example. For instance, you could have amounts of flow coming in from different nodes. Okay? And getting out from different points. Okay, on the green arcs, I chose these coefficients. Okay. For T, alpha, and C. On the blue arc, I chose these values. So you see, here green arcs are fast. If there's no flow on the arc, you will spend a unit time over it. Okay, on the green on the blue arcs you will spend 4 units of time, and on the red arcs you will take 10 units of time. Then the capacity of the arcs, which in the time blockage is the real capacity, while in the Bureau of Public Roads case it's just a reference point, is 20 on the green arcs, so large capacity. And 10 on the blue and red arcs. Okay? And the total amount of flow I want to go through the arc is exactly 20. Okay? So, I can run the... what I do need is a starting solution. Okay? But... Well, in this case, there... Okay, I said green arcs 20 and the others 10. Okay, you have to split a little bit, for instance, 10 this way and 10 others this way. In general, you can find the initial feasible solution using what type of algorithms? Do you remember? To find the feasible solution, you can run a maximum flow algorithm. Okay? And it will give you an initial solution. So,
Indeed, what I did here is exactly send 10 units of flow through this path and 10 through this other, okay, as the initial solution. As our x0, then I can run, so let's say the Frank, no, what is it? Traffic. Traffic Frankfurt algorithm. Let's say I do first this case, no bounds. Okay, already done. It took 22 iterations, and this is the solution. How the flow distributes along the arcs. Okay. You see, it's pretty fast, 22 iterations. While when we had that example with the box, it was taking hundreds of iterations. Okay. Here, this polyhedron has lots of vertex. Okay. So let me memorize the solution. Then I can write it. In the other case, it is even faster, it takes 16 iterations. Well, okay, and this is the amount of flow on each arc. Notice that if I take the other, It's pretty different, because here I have 7.7 units on this arc, and for the other congestion function on that arc, I almost had 12 units. Okay, so the two solutions can be pretty different. Okay, the effect of this choice is not negligible. Okay, it's meaningful. It's a meaningful effect. And then you can also run. If you like it best, you can run the gradient projection. In the first case, it takes 15 iterations, while the other algorithms took 22. You can memorize the optimal solution. Okay. Which is this one, and you can compare it with the solution given by the other algorithms, and you will find that it's a bit different, because this is 11.8 and this is 11.9. The second arc is 4.07 and the second one is 4.09. If you consider if you consider the difference of the two vectors and you take its norm, it's not small, okay? Well, what's strange? There's something you should find a bit strange. I solved the same problem, okay, with two different algorithms, but the two solutions I got are not the same. Why? And I can tell you that this is a strictly convex function over linear constraints, so. Over a convex set, so the solution is unique. Yeah, that's exactly the point. The stopping criterion actually they are the same, but they are satisfied at a different rate. Okay, whenever you satisfy the stopping criterion, you stop. Okay, You can use the same and the same thresholds, but the algorithms behave differently, and so they reach the approximate stopping criterion with different points. Okay. Clearly, if your thresholds are all zero, which means actual optimality, they should be the same, but you will never reach them. Okay. Otherwise, different algorithms lead to different approximations. Here, the difference is meaningful because yet these are the values of the two functions. Okay, this is the value if I compute if I use the Frank-Wolf algorithm. This is the approximate optimal value, and this is the one when I use the projected gradient method. So if you see, there is a bit of difference. This is how much is it? So in this is an absolute value, but if I want to take, for instance, let's take as a reference the Frank-Wolf algorithm. Okay, the difference is 0.6%. Okay, a bit of a difference, not really huge, but there's a bit different. And the reason is that one. In practical algorithms, top criterion are not the optimality condition, but an approximation. Okay, so this may happen. Actually, to tell the truth, in these algorithms, I did not take the optimality condition as a stopping criterion. I choose something different, which is... Okay, no, I took two. Okay, the combination of two. What is the norm of the difference between two successive rates? And what is the difference of values? Okay. When one of these is below some threshold, I stop. Okay. These are not optimality conditions at all. Okay. I am saying if I'm not doing any more progress, I stop. Okay. I use 0.001, but so 10 at minus 3, but I could have used, and it is more common, 10 at minus 6. Okay. If I'm not doing any more progress in the iterations, in the iterates, or in the values of the output function, I stop. Okay. These are stopping criteria. Which are somehow practical and not related to optimality conditions. Okay. Otherwise, I could have used the one which is typical for the Frank-Wolf algorithm, that is the optimal value of the linearized problem, or the distance between the projection and the starting point in the projected gradient methods. Okay, I could do the same stuff for the other case, but oh no, here it's a bit is a bit funny because here is one case in which the gradient projected method takes many more iterations. Okay. And then you could once again compare. I'm sorry. You could also compare here in this case how good approximation
here. And here you pick a bit difference because this is too much. This sounds a little bit too much because this would be 94%. There must be something wrong in the way I memorize the vectors. Okay, but it's the same kind of stuff. Okay? Different. Same shopping criteria, with same threshold, different algorithms, different, slightly different solutions. Okay, so this is one kind of application. I would expect, let's say, some objections. Not to algorithms, okay? Here, the algorithmic part was just a game. I didn't mean it to explain the features of the algorithms to you, just to show that they work pretty well in a pretty fast way, even though the problem is pretty small. I'm thinking of something which should strike you wrong with the model. Well, it could be meaningful for parts. Okay, if this is a traffic of our roads, clearly the number of cars must be integers. Okay, somehow it's not very relevant also in that situation because you consider number of people moving. Okay. So generally you speak about hundreds of people and so on, so a fraction doesn't mean much. Okay? But yeah, this is a kind of objection. I would expect something on the objective function. Yeah? So? Quindi? No, I mean, this works if I manage the whole network and I can decide how to distribute the traffic over the whole network. Okay? But suppose it's you and me. Okay? I can't decide for you and you cannot decide for me. Okay? I will try to minimize my travel time. And you will try to minimize your travel time. And all other users will try to minimize their own travel time. Okay? And not the total travel time. For instance, in the total travel time, I can travel for a very short period of time, for a very short time, and you could travel for a very long time. Okay? I will be happy, you will be unhappy with this solution. Okay, so this type of example is some sort of centralized model, an authority model. Okay, someone which runs the network, which may be partially the case of data networks, for instance, but it's not always satisfactory. Okay. So I would have my own optimization problem and you would have your own optimization problem. Okay? The fact is that my problem is affected by my problem is affected by yours. My choice is affected by yours. If you make a choice and so you travel some of these arcs, this affects me too, I as well, and vice versa. Okay? So actually generally, these are easy approach to traffic over networks, but rather than optimization, the concepts which are more used on in network problems are those of equilibria, okay? Which
let's say roughly, I try to solve my problem, you try to solve yours. But if we run the solution, I find out that doing a different choice I could make better, the next time I will choose the other solution. And you will do something similar. Okay? So we are entering the in the framework of games, of game theory. Okay? Game theory, each user, each player has his own optimization problems, but all these optimization problems are linked together. Okay? I will not enter into the details of this field, but just to mention you that actually when you find problems of traffic, generally you are more likely to find traffic equilibrium rather than optimization.